In today's world, we are increasingly dependent on technology. Our business and personal lives rely on it, but as you've probably noticed, it's unreliable. They promise it'll get better, but it usually gets worse. Our computers are slow, so we end up squinting at smartphones and tablets. We live in constant fear that something's going to happen to our personal data, so we're scared into paying for fake protection that proves useless when disaster strikes. Update attacks, fake Wi-Fi, cloud control, and other industry scandals are designed to keep the money flowing. The jokers we pay to fix our stuff have no clue what they're doing, so they do a virus scan and then wipe out our precious photos. Intelligent, successful people feel intimidated by the chaos and think it's somehow their fault. If they only knew what the industry was doing to them, they'd get torches and pitchforks. If only we had someone to explain it all in plain English so we can start protecting ourselves. Oh wait, we do! It's the Computer Exorcist Podcast with your host, Mark Anthony Arena.
From the Wallace Memorial Microphone in my home office, overlooking the can of worms in downtown Rochester, New York, this is the Computer Exorcist Podcast. My name is Mark Anthony Arena. Thanks so much for being here today. This is the podcast where we talk about technology. It's the only one I know of that explains technology in plain English and calls out the industry whenever it tries to abuse the consumer. We try to pepper in a little humor and use a lot of analogies to explain what's going on because, like Rebecca said in the beginning, if normal people had any clue what the tech industry was doing to them, they would get torches and pitchforks. So, today we've got an article here. I'm still behind in the articles, so we're trying to catch up here, but it's actually a good thing when we read an article that's a couple years old because we get to show you the impact that it had. We get to show you, hey, look, some things never change, and we get to show you the eternal underlying concepts, right? It's just like any kind of recurring societal issue, right? Let's say graffiti as just an example I pulled out of my head. It happens all the time, right? And if you read an article about it from 5 years ago, you're like, oh, okay, it's not new. And by the way, here's the underlying issue is that, yeah, paint will always be available, but it's kids have nothing to do. So it's the same thing here with this virtual stuff. People have nothing to do. And really, they don't realize, right? One of the things that I learned as an adult after going through all the crises that I did, is that we're taught by movies and books that we have to, if you have a problem, you have to attack another human and somehow that solves it. When in reality, it's the societal problem, right? Instead of using your spare time to attack other people, how about using your spare time to actually solve some kind of world problem, right? So you got countries attacking each other constantly in wars and in cybersecurity wars, and they should just focus on solving problems. It's not people that cause problems, right? If you attack another person, that doesn't actually solve anything long term. All right. So August 2021, NPR.org. China's Microsoft hack may have had a bigger purpose than just spying. When investigators discovered the hack on Microsoft Exchange servers in January, they thought it was about stealing emails. Now they believe China vacuumed up reams of information in a bid to develop better AI. Or artificial intelligence, in case you've had your head under a rock for a while. Stephen Adair is the founder of a cybersecurity company called Volexity, and he runs traps to corner intruders all the time. So he took a quick look at a server that was running Microsoft Exchange and was stunned to see requests that we're not expecting. So I'm stunned to know that this guy who claims he knows about cybersecurity is allowing clients to use Microsoft Exchange. The overarching theme of this episode today is that Microsoft Exchange is a 1991 piece of garbage. Actually, let's look it up right now. Microsoft Exchange. We'll look it up on Wikipedia. And I'll tell you exactly how ancient it is. Microsoft Exchange Server, developed by Microsoft. Initial release. Sorry, it wasn't 91. It was April 1996. Normally, I'll just say, in my professional opinion, it's garbage and it's naked and whatever. But I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to take a break from Angry Mark today, and I'm going to let you decide if Microsoft Exchange, which is a server that holds people's emails, if you think its security has improved since 1996. What Adair discovered was a massive hack into Microsoft Exchange, one of the most popular email software programs in the world. Yes, unfortunately, people still think it's usable. For nearly 3 months, intruders helped themselves to everything from emails to calendars to contacts. Then they went wild and launched a second wave of attacks to sweep the Exchange data from tens of thousands of unsuspecting victims. They hit mom-and-pop shops, dentist offices, school districts, and local governments. So, nice job, Adair. You didn't realize that this was happening under your nose for 3 months. It's one thing if you're a local IT joker, one of those bearded tyrants who works for a small firm, but you claim to be a cybersecurity guy. So, you let this happen for 3 months? Is that right? Both the White House and Microsoft have said unequivocally that the Chinese government-backed hackers are to blame. That's interesting how they just come out and say it unequivocally, right? Usually it's, well, we have reason to believe, or that sort of thing. They found that stealing emails and intellectual property may have only been the beginning. The breach was in the service of something bigger, China's AI ambitions. The technology that allows computers to perform tasks that traditionally require human intelligence, such as finding patterns and recognizing speech. That's actually a good definition of AI. It allows computers to perform tasks that traditionally required human intelligence. We do know the diversity of data and quality of data aggregation is critical to its success. Vulnerable systems had to be connected to the internet, of course, and controlled locally by the company's IT department. Something known as on-premises, as opposed to Office 365, which runs in the cloud, which offers more protection. That's actually not true at all. But in this particular situation, it was safe. Okay? Anyone who worships the cloud is going to tell you, well, just trust the cloud with all your data because this is protection. But as you'll see in the next few episodes that I'm doing and upcoming episodes, you'll see how that's utterly fake. Once the attackers locked onto a target and slipped into the Exchange servers, they planted code that essentially tricked it into requesting information. And any servers on the other end assumed the request was legitimate. That's a cool idea, right? So we have Chinese kids doing this, by the way. And meanwhile, American kids are sitting around pretending to be cats and just watching videos all day and complaining that they have too much homework and, yeah, not graduating and so on. Most companies run Exchange in the cloud, so Microsoft takes care of that security. Yeah, trust Microsoft, right? Yeah, they're a real trusted name in security. Some companies run a hybrid system using the cloud for their day-to-day operations, but maintaining servers in-house to store proprietary information that they'd prefer to control. Good, there you go. So they're admitting right there that if you actually care about some information, you keep it off the cloud. Okay, I don't keep most of my stuff on the cloud. The vast majority of my documents, photos, music, and everything is stored on a local SD card, and then I back it up locally. I bet the cloud would be real eager to get its hands on my documents and music, but no. Alright, I only keep a handful of current documents in a cloud synchronization service so that it synchronizes across my 3 laptops, but that's it. But anything I care about, I keep off the cloud. And that's what I recommend to my clients. If their email server was connected to the internet, it meant any bad guy can hit it. Okay, look. If it's an Exchange server, any bad guy can hit it. That's the reality, in my professional opinion. Okay? Anything that's connected to the internet, I mean, yeah, I don't trust it. But Exchange servers are basically naked. in my opinion. Microsoft has a Threat Intelligence Center, or Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center, MSTIC. I imagine they pronounce that Mystic. So it didn't take Mystic long to determine who was roaming around. It was a Chinese group of hackers known as Hafnium. Typically, hackers find targets by scanning the internet. They look for systems that haven't been updated. Yeah, that's it. We're going to look for systems that haven't been updated. Right? So it's that treadmill. Oh, you're going to be vulnerable until you update. Right? It's the treadmill. I have to keep updating and updating, and then the bad guys will come, and then they'll see that I have updates, and then I'm going to update, and then update, and they'll see that I'm not updating, and I'll update some more. As opposed to just using non-Microsoft software where you are virtually bulletproof and virtually can never have a problem, ever. The attackers seemed to have a weirdly specific piece of data. They had the exact email addresses of the people running those independent exchange servers. That's not public information. So they have reason to believe that they got those email addresses earlier on in some earlier adventure. The breach appeared manageable, but something unexpected happened. The hack went viral. I don't know why that's unexpected. If bad guys have some kind of exploit where they're breaking into stuff, they're probably going to share that exploit with other bad guys, okay? A wide range of unknown groups operating from China all used this exploit. It's like the moment a firecracker goes off. How loud is this going to be? All hands on deck, right? And again, it's the fear and the panic of Microsoft ownership, right? Of the Microsoft ownership experience of having a Microsoft product. It's fear and all hands on deck. We're going to patch. And then guess what? There's going to be another patch and another and another and another. They have goldfish brains. They think that once you patch this, then you'll be okay. No, if you're running a Microsoft product, they have hundreds of trillions of billions and trillions of lines of code, and that's not far from the actual number. But, of course you're going to have a problem. Bad guys will find something else, because all Microsoft code is utter rubbish. If you have to release a fix, you ruin somebody's weekend. They need to be in the office testing whatever Microsoft has created to make sure it doesn't lock up something else. That's hysterical, because when I worked in a large corporation in 2011, they would unleash the update attacks. They would deploy the attacks in our office. So our IT jokers, our high-level jokers, would unleash the attacks from Microsoft and Adobe and whoever else. They would unleash those update attacks without testing anything. So the first Monday of the month, whenever they unleash the attacks, the next day, the first Monday of the month, they... all 5,000 employees would call crying because the attacks were untested. So the jokers running our company, the IT jokers in charge, never, ever, ever tested anything. And I imagine that's the case for most companies. And it's just, sorry, too bad. We're going to unleash an attack, and then, hey, our Adobe doesn't work anymore. Our Exchange doesn't work anymore. Our Adobe doesn't work anymore. Every single first Monday, or the first day of the workday of the month, every time it would be the same story. And none of the jokers ever cared to do anything about it. And again, I've told this story before, but I think my supervisor was okay with it because he was paid per incident. So he would let the attacks be unleashed, and then we'd get money for every call from the victims who were floundering and suffering. And I just imagine, I just wish the person who'd signed that contract, paying them, I think it was $1 or $3 million a year or whatever, zillions of dollars a year, would have realized that, hey, all of the pain and suffering was preventable. Okay? And on top of that, even if you're not part of an organization, if you're a consumer, Adobe releases attacks, Microsoft releases attacks that damage your computer because they don't test anything either. So they just unleash it willy-nilly, and you are the guinea pig. It all boils down to that condescension, that computer guy looking down on the consumer. Oh, they're stupid because they don't know my ever-changing industry, therefore they're stupid, therefore I can treat them like a guinea pig. It's a vicious cycle. So Microsoft had to find a way to convince some 350,000 IT administrators running local Exchange, local copies of Exchange, in local offices to stop whatever they were doing and patch right away. Well, guess what? They have to convince people because there's such a thing as update fatigue. I've talked about this before, where it's like they're crying wolf. We are so sick of doing update attacks for their filthy Swiss cheese software that we don't want to hear it anymore. We're done. We're sick of it. I don't want to hear it. And that's what happened with people's cars, right? In the article I mentioned years ago, people were sick of doing recalls on cars, right? I was so sick of doing recalls on my Hyundai. I mean, I love the car and it's very reliable, but I was so sick of doing recalls, I just stopped bothering with it. I just don't care. When we release a patch, the bad guys start reverse engineering it immediately. Okay, great. So you do a patch that supposedly protects, but then the bad guys take a look at the patch because it's public, and then they start reverse engineering it, and then they figure out how it works so that they can get underneath it. So what's the point? Again, just stop with all the cycle of idiocy. Stop with the cycle. Stop with the 30-year-old software and make something that's fresh and new that doesn't have trillions of lines of code that are outdated and trillions of security holes. And this, you know, the whole enemy here, apparently nobody knows this, right? They're all pea brains and they don't understand the real enemy. The enemy here is the fundamental design. If you just didn't have products that required daily patches and had trillions of holes in them that could be exposed and then release patch, release patch, release patch. Bad guy finds a problem. Let's make a patch. Release a patch. Bad guy finds a hole in the patch. Bad guy finds something else, right? Just stop the cycle. Get off the carousel. Just get off the carousel. If you use non-Microsoft products, you don't have this kind of problem. Just stop and turn off the carousel and get off. None of this is necessary. Right, if you talk to a joker who says, it's just part of life, it's just the way the industry is, it means they don't have any clue. They don't question anything, or they don't know any better. They think this is the way of the world, or they want to make money off of you, off of the recurring problems. All right? Anxiety was beginning to ripple through the Biden administration. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, so apparently that's another CIA. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, so nice job with that original acronym, released an emergency directive. Even the FBI got involved. It secured a court order, get this, secured a court order so it could legally scan the internet, find servers that the Chinese had breached, and then proactively remove whatever they put in there, all without informing the victims first. Look, if you're going to help me, you got to inform me first, right? Because who knows what they're going to break? Again, anytime a computer guy gets in there to try to fix something, they break something else. That's, you know, again, they mean well, but that's a little much, folks. That's a little much. It all boils down to drawing the line as to, hey, I'm okay, thanks. Don't help me. Even if it means my hazard, I'm okay, thanks. Don't break into my freaking server. This is an active threat, said Jen Psaki. Government, private sector, academia needs to act now to patch them. Right, again, it's that whack-a-mole lifestyle, and I'm sure she's never heard of computers before. She probably just learned how to use email last week and doesn't understand the whole industry. All right, but it's that whack-a-mole mentality, okay? The Chinese are very shop-vac-oriented, they said. The tally between 2014 and 2018 is head-spinning. There was the Office of Personnel Management attack, in which they whisked away 21.5 million records from the federal government's background investigation database. So mainly it's federal employees, and we talked about that one years ago. There was also a breach at Anthem Inc., in which they swiped 78 million names, birth dates, and social security numbers. Again, whenever you hear security problems, right, it's not you, it's not your individual computer. It's large organizations like Anthem Inc. that most likely are infected with Microsoft technology, right? So it's like if you use a tarp instead of a concrete wall for your office, yeah, bad guys are going to cut through it with a knife, okay? it's again, straw, sticks, or bricks. It's what are you going to use to build your cottage so when the big bad wolf comes, you're okay. If you use Microsoft technology, then yeah, they're going to come in and swipe your 78 million names, birth dates, and social security numbers. Equifax announced that hackers stole credit information of 147.9 million Americans. Again, I'm almost certain they're infected with Microsoft technology. And by the way, their chief technology officer was a music major who just happened to get in that role and nobody knows how. It was just, oh, we'll promote you because, all right, you look good. You figure this out. Then there was the break-in at Marriott Starwood Hotels in 2018. They stole credit card, passport, and travel information from 500 million people. They have all the financial data for every single American adult. All this information can be woven together to build on itself, right? You can infer certain things about people. If John Doe lives in Iowa and has a credit card and stayed at a Starwood hotel, I can infer a lot of things about him, right? Well, we've heard directly from the bad guys. They heard directly from the bad guys is that they broke into this, and this is the first time they're so reckless. Back in 2017, the Chinese announced that they wanted world-class artificial intelligence as a national priority, akin to the race to the moon. So they are developing computer scientists who can write algorithms and amass information, as they've said. Its universities are churning out computer scientists at breakneck speed. Meanwhile, our colleges are just partying and protesting and hooking up with each other and whatever else they're doing. AI, the role AI plays in our everyday lives, like getting mortgages approved and healthcare data and all that. I mean, that was back in 21, and now there's a lot more AI hype because it can do fancy things like make fake pictures and videos in order to fool consumers who are looking at the news, right? We're not doing anything. Our consumers are just sitting there looking at the news. Meanwhile, other people are developing computer scientists at breakneck speeds. Okay, so Americans should take a moment to reflect on what it would mean to have a technology that will touch our lives built by someone else. Okay, again, folks, you can choose not to participate. Just choose not to use Microsoft technology and you can avoid the whack-a-mole, break-fix, 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 whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole, patch, 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 duct tape, duct tape. This is like a haiku, huh? Or a song. Patch, 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 duct tape, band-aids, Bondo spray paint. That's the way of the Microsoft and you can choose not to participate. You can also choose not to participate in the cloud at all by keeping your data local, like I said. That's what I do. So think about that before someone tries to rope you into an Exchange server or a Microsoft 365, which is just them renting you an Exchange server from 1996. All right, it's a regurgitated piece of garbage, and instead of fixing it, they just slap duct tape and patches all over it, and they rent it to you now so they can get more money out of you for the same naked garbage product. All right, a couple quick articles here, real quickies. HP LaserJet 1320. This isn't an article. This is actually just a test page that came out of my printer the other day. That's right. I use HP printers at my desk at home and my desk at work. And I've told you this before, I use old ones. The pre-2011 HP printers lasted a very long time. The two that I have are from the mid-90s. So this particular laser jet that I have in my office is from 2006. It's very yellowed. The plastic is all yellowed because it was in my uncle's office right in front of the window getting melted by the sun or yellowed by the sun. So only the half of it that was facing out the window is yellow. So I keep it under my desk because it's ugly. But it still works flawlessly. It's from 06. He used it very heavily in his office for many decades. And then put it in the office basement and I found it and said, hey, I'm going to use this. They are right now, if you go on eBay, right? I mean, you can go right now to Goodwill and get an HP inkjet, a modern one, for $10, and it probably 99% chance it won't work. But if you go on eBay now and look for the HP LaserJet 1320 from 2006, they are worth anywhere from 100 to 200 used right now in 2024. That's a testament to how reliable HP products used to be. So, one last one, foxbusiness.com, January 2024. Verizon's $100 million lawsuit is settled, and here's how to get a cut. Each individual payment is currently capped at $100, so depending, you get between $15 and $100. Verizon confirms more than 5,000 security incidents were data breaches, and that's actually a separate headline there. So if you enjoy security and abuse and hidden fees and paying twice the price of everybody else, then check into Verizon Wireless. Verizon users, some current and former, may be eligible for a chunk of change connected to a recently settled class action lawsuit. The administrative fee that prompted plaintiffs to sue, basically they were putting in fake administrative fees. So, look, if you want to get in on the settlement and get your compensation money from Verizon, that's awesome, because shame on them, and they should certainly pay you. But be extremely careful, because if you go on the Googles and type Verizon lawsuit settlement, you'll 99% you'll probably get an imposter. So be extremely careful of that. Find a young person in your area to look for that particular Verizon link, or perhaps the go to the Fox Business site and it says proposed settlement and it's an underlined link, and maybe, just maybe, they'll send you to the proper settlement site. You'll probably have to fill out your name and address and the dates that you were a Verizon customer and so on, and they'll calculate how much money you're eligible for. But just my point is here, be very careful that you're at the appropriate website to claim your compensation, because most websites are now imposters. Okay? So leave Verizon and you'll save half. That's, again, that's it, my commentary here is, if you enjoy the abuse, stick with Verizon. If you want to save half, I talked to a lady yesterday. She was paying $186, and I told her to go to T-Mobile, and I estimate she'll pay about $66. So go to anyone else ever. If you still are obsessed with the Verizon towers, you know, Verizon used to be the best as far as coverage, and people still think they are, but T-Mobile surpassed them about 10 years ago. So if you have a real situation in reality where only Verizon phones will work in your cottage in the woods, then go to a Verizon reseller, right? There's Straight Talk and Pure Talk and Charity Mobile, and unfortunately they just bought Track Phone, so they'll probably destroy them soon, but Track Phone used to be an extremely cheap way to go. But you can find resellers that use Verizon towers but still give you that huge savings, all right? Just avoid Spectrum Mobile. They give you a good price for a year, and then they lock and attack, and it's designed as a tactic to lock you into their Spectrum home internet forever. So don't touch internet. Don't touch the cellular plans from Spectrum or Comcast. They're actually scams. T-Mobile is my favorite, but go to anywhere else that's not Verizon or Spectrum Mobile. So, I hope you had a good time today. My name is Mark Anthony Arena. Stay tuned for more articles. I've been digging into the marticles, as I call them, and I have about 400 and something of them that I'm behind on over the past 3 years. So we're going to blaze through them in the next few episodes. We're going to blaze through them and skim the surface of them. And instead of me, you know, I don't want to give you the same repetitive advice over and over again and my little tangents. You know, I'm going to keep those to a minimum and just go through the articles, look for new stuff that you haven't heard before instead of the same old stuff, and we'll learn something. So I hope you had a great time. If you are interested in doing this for a living, or if you know someone who needs something, needs a career, a purposeful career, then you can go to becomeanexorcist.com. That's becomeanexorcist.com. If you're a consumer looking to buy my book, you can go to thecomputerexorcist.com. Both of them point to different parts of my website. Thecomputerexorcist.com. Hope you tell your friends about the show. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later. It's all right now. Just
they give you an inch, and then they take a